The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And welcome. It's another edition of Uncontainable. Kevin McCullough, my name, and glad to have you with us for these bite-sized portions of great teaching from the vaults of ancient wisdom. That's what we try to do at Uncontainable, bring to you some of this uncontainable content and center it around the issues of life that you face that may indeed help encourage your faith, your life, your walk in a variety of ways. Today, Dr. Jack Graham, Pastor Al Pittman, and Dr. Alistair Begg will all join us to talk about difficult times for we as believers to live as global Christians. What exactly is a global Christian? Well, it helps to understand at least the context, and that's what Dr. Jack Graham starts us with.
You know, in our current international community, businesses are multi-international. Many of you are part of businesses where you travel around the world, you are connected. The internet has made the whole world viable and visible to us. We are living in a generation in which literally the world is at our fingertips. The world is at our doorstep. And the fact is, God loves the world and everyone in it. Everyone on the planet is personally, passionately loved. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And he told us five times, actually recorded in the scripture, he told us to go into all the world and to make disciples, to deliver the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, to tell the world that God loves them and has a marvelous, wonderful, eternal plan for their lives. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, I will make you fishers of men. And he changes our world from becoming just sort of casual bystanders to engaged, fully alive believers in Christ, making a difference in our generation for Christ. We have too many casual, convenient, comfortable, cultural kinds of Christians in churches today. And if you're a cultural Christian, if you're a casual Christian, it's all about you. What can God do for me? What can my church do for me? It's a consumer kind of religion, and many are into consumerism and that kind of idea. It's all about me. What can my church do for me? And it becomes so self-absorbed. And a casual, comfortable, cultural Christian, it's all about being a greedy getter. No wonder people are bored. You know, we have the nice house in the suburbs. We've got the great career. We're making money. But we're still not happy. To what end? To what purpose? We keep asking ourselves, when is my life going to be significant? When am I going to make a mark? What's my legacy in life going to be? Will it be just like a rock thrown in the ocean to make a little blip and then gone? What's my life? How can I make an internal impact? How can I mark my generation? Well, to do that, you must be a global Christian. You must be a Christian committed, called to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're all called. We're all commissioned. Go, 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 go into all the world. And in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, and that's our text for today, Jesus has gathered his disciples for the last time. He is about to ascend into heaven, only to return one day. But he's ascending into heaven. And before he left, he said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. You will be my witnesses. That means that we can get up every day excited about life, elevated with a purpose, energized to do what we do because we know that we have something greater than money, greater than the stuff we may accumulate, we have the opportunity to be a part of God's global plan, His kingdom mission. And can I say that there has never been a better time than right now and a better place than right here for us to go global for God? The world is wide open and God is at work. Strategically, sovereignly, supernaturally, God is at work in the world. God hasn't gotten old and can't do the things He used to do. No, our God is alive. Our God is active. And He is working in ways that we could have never imagined even just a few years ago. The fact is, parts of the world closed off to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But now God has blown the doors open wide. And we have this season, we have this window of opportunity. We know that the times are urgent. We don't know how much time we have left, but we do know that right now we have an opportunity, an unprecedented opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, no more excuses. No more excuses to say, well, I'm too young, or I'm too old, or I'm too tired, or I'm too busy, or all the excuses. Away with that. Because when you receive power, the power of the Holy Spirit, you will go to all the world.
All the world. Even if there are school shootings and tragedies and trauma that we face in life that are unexpected. So how do you begin to have peace in troubled times to live as that global Christian? That's where Pastor Al Pittman steps in here on Uncontainable.
Surveys from the American Psychological Association released last fall showed nearly half of Americans said they were more stressed than a year ago, and one-third rating their stress level as extreme, close quote. I would say that in these troubled times, people are desperate for true peace. Today, peace seems to be elusive for many people. They've trusted in their economy, their bank accounts, their physical prowess, their beauty, or what have you. But that type of peace never lasts. The only peace that is eternal is the peace that we have in Jesus Christ. I know I'm preaching to the choir when I say that, but we need to be reminded, even as believers in these troubled times, that Jesus is our peace. In fact, Jesus said in John 14, 27, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you." How does the world give? It gives through finances and politics and all these other things. That's the way the world says, oh, we're going to guarantee you peace. Jesus said, I don't give you that kind of peace. He said, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Father, we need to hear that this morning. Someone once said that safety, I quote here, safety, that is true peace, consists not in the absence of danger, but in the presence of God, close quote. We need His presence today. But how can we have peace in these troubling times? Well, first we find that peace begins with God, a right relationship with God. And we saw last week that peace, true peace, the very presence of God, cannot be won through the righteousness of the law. Mankind cannot attain God's peace because we are all spiritually defective because of sin. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the righteousness of faith, and that is Paul's point here, it is the righteousness of faith in Christ that brings us this everlasting peace, because through Christ, the spiritually blind, the spiritually lame can now come into the presence of God and stand in His presence without shame. And that relationship brings you a peace that the world cannot give you.
But maybe even at that, maybe with the understanding theologically that putting your faith and trust in God is something that gives you an advantage, what if you don't feel it? What if it feels like you're constantly being asked to trust God while you are in the dark, wanting to be a faithful Christian? That's where Dr. Alistair Begg centers our conclusion today.
Now, our reaction to despondency, to discouragement, to disappointment is just this, to ask God to turn the lights back on. But He doesn't often turn the lights back on. That was a problem for David. How long? How long? How long? You see, this is the real test. The world looks on. People who do not believe the Bible, who do not understand that Jesus is a risen king, they look on, and we're tempted to say, if we can only show them, you know, this amazing triumph that is ours to enjoy, then they will be impressed with that. They may or may not be, but I'll tell you what will impress them. It's when, in the experience of our own deep-seated despondency that doesn't seem to be mitigated by time, that doesn't seem to be altering as we progress, that we're able still in that situation to discover that God is teaching us now to trust Him, not with the lights on, but with the lights off. Anybody can sleep with the lights on. It's when it's darkness. When darkness veils your lovely face, I rest on your unchanging grace. Not on the lights, but on the one who is the Father of lights, as James says, in whom there is no variableness, neither shadow due to turning. Now, to our final point, what is the bridge that gets us from verse 4 to verse 5? The answer is, it is prayer, because that's what he's doing in verses 3 and 4. Consider me, answer me. And the consolation that he discovers is fantastic. And what makes this psalm so compelling is the fact that verse 5 and verse 6 give no indication of anything having changed in the psalmist's circumstances, except his perspective. How did his perspective change? Because he went to God in prayer. Notice the verbs. What do we find him? But I have trusted in your steadfast love. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Well, you say, well, okay, but what does that mean? Look at where I am. But I feel forgotten and I feel disappointed and my enemies seem to be doing better than me and makes me sad and makes me want to cry. But I have trusted in your steadfast love. This is volitional. This is not emotional. This is a lesson, isn't it? We need to bring our emotions underneath the jurisdiction of God's character and God's purposes. The feelings of his heart are real, but now he's applying his mind to the matter. He is, if you like, being transformed by the renewing of his mind. So, trusting, and then you will notice rejoicing. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I have trusted, past tense. I will rejoice in your salvation. In other words, when I look at the shattered remnants of my experience here, and it looks as if the collapse is almost absolutely definite, I remind myself that you give me beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And finally, singing. I will sing. It's hard to sing, isn't it, if you're upset? I find it so. It's hard to pray when you're upset. Can't get much out. Sounds very routine. And some of us as well, we like to play in the minor key all the time, you know. Erect a monument to all of our disappointments. Oh, this didn't happen, and that was a mistake, and this is a failure, and look at this, and look at that. And the evil one is happy with that. He'll take us back down that corridor all day, every day. Just take us back down. Oh, do you remember? I can't believe you. Look at this. Look at that. Look at the next thing. What do you do with that? Well, you say, I'm going to trust in your steadfast love. I'm going to rejoice in you, the God of my salvation, that you have saved me from sin's penalty, that you are saving me from sin's power, that one day you will save me from sin's very presence. And therefore, I can sing, and therefore, I will sing. Let's acknowledge the fact that there is a perverse sense of satisfaction in feeling sorry for ourselves. And there is more than a hint of that in the experience of this psalm. And we like to go away by ourselves and play it over again and again. We need to resist that. We need also to recognize that only ultimately in the new heaven and in the new earth will these storms of life be finally stilled. And that then is a matter of trusting God, trusting that our Father is wise. When He doesn't give us something, it's because He knows it's better for us not to have it. When He entrusts us with something that is hard to accept, it remains because He is able to look upon us and give to us the privilege of bearing testimony in that circumstance to the reality of His grace. And it is an opportunity for us to remind ourselves that as with David, so with us, that it's God's word that is the anchor for our souls.
That anchor is what keeps us anchored in the midst of the trials, in the midst of headlines where we can't give an explanation for the tragedy around us, sometimes in the pain of what our friends and neighbors are going through. Sometimes we are going to need to be that living global Christian to some people that have no other place to find it, to some places that have no other place to seek it. Special thanks to Dr. Alistair Begg of Truth for Life on Twitter at Alistair Begg, online at truthforlife.org. Pastor Al Pittman on Twitter at CWCC Springs and online at CWCCS.org. And Dr. Jack Graham of PowerPoint Ministries at JackNGraham0 and online at JackGraham.org. These are our contributors today. Come back regularly for the Uncontainable podcast as we seek to dig deep into the minds of ancient wisdom with these bite-sized nuggets of uncontainable truth here on the Uncontainable podcast on Twitter and YouTube.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. Deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.